Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Any Given Game Day with Mike Carlson joining us back after a 1 week absence. Mike, hello. I'm sure everybody wants to say hello. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. And I think just in fairness, I should explain that the present circumstances are they've basically been in hospital most of the summer with a couple of brief furloughs all of July and August and September and a bit of June. And dealing with long-term illness and chemotherapy. And every now and again, you get weakened. The chemo is not so bad, even at its worst, but you do get weakened and you're subject to infections. And sometimes the infections can hit you really hard. I had a long bout back in July, but last week was just a day or two. And I'm pretty much compost mentis, and I do appreciate everything that people have been sending in and messaging me with and good wishes and all that kind of stuff. It really does help. So thank you so much.
Yeah. And of course, we obviously send our best wishes to you all the time, but you know, they don't call you Iron Mike for nothing. That's what I say to everyone. John, obviously Mike spoke about his illness. You kind of look unhealthy all of the time, but people might think you're also unhealthy, but you can tell everyone you're fine, right?
Yeah, this is just like, I think we talked about this like last week and the week before as well. If this podcast ever goes back onto YouTube, you'll have a bit of explaining to do because I think I look fine, Kieran.
No, I really don't. You really don't.
I'm aging like a fine wine, and gray is just a nice color to have these days in your beard a little bit.
Not sure, unless you're a wine.
He looks like... Okay, I won't say he looks what he looks like because it's going to be really mean.
I've heard them all. Back to you, John. I'm a picture of health. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. But Mike, it's lovely to have you back on the show. We missed your top tips and your expert analysis last week. It was just Kieran and I. Yeah, I know, yeah, right?
You certainly did miss those picks because after 2 weeks, I'm the only guy who has picked two right. And I know that you're giving
you
me
don't food. Catch. No. You don't get a preview. I
don't know. Yeah, like as far as I'm aware, I listened to the show. I was on the show, as a matter of fact, and I didn't hear any Mike Carlson pick last week at all.
Yeah,
so.
Well, here it was. It's written down in black and white.
This is very convenient now, isn't it?
Because they only had pens invented by then, you know, last week.
It was, and I was really upset because I took Detroit minus 55, and then a friend of mine told me that it was only minus 5.5, so I'd actually won. Mm-hmm. But the actual bet was Thursday night football.
Really?
Was Washington at the Packers with 3.5, and that seemed to me the best bet of the week from like Monday morning, first thing I saw it. So there you go.
I went for the Chargers, which we should say won quite handily in the end. And I said it was like one of the bets of the season to have.
It was the 3-point spread. It was the second one on my list, actually. And John had a fairly bad beat because it was Arizona minus five, and it was only 6.5.
Yeah, there you go, Kieran. Bad beat.
That Cardinals game, I mean, obviously, just briefly, because we're going to look at the outrights. Red zone was brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Oh, that was that, I think I was actually going to raise that very, very briefly before this. I think this was like an all-timer episode of Red Zone, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. Actually, where I was in the pub and they didn't have Red Zone, they just had all the games on, and it was just
no way, really?
Fantastic.
Oh, you missed out. Yeah, it was there was one of those kind of legendary quad box moments from Scott Hansen where they had, obviously, I'm sure longtime listeners and NFL viewers will know the quad boxes, and there's like at least four screens on your television screen showing live NFL action, and in each of them something happened in like sequence, one by one, it was a great moment. And also, just a quick shout out, but just one final quick shout out, that just going, not to harp on last week too much, but that Cowboys Giants game was just ridiculously off the charts entertaining, wasn't it?
Well, if you like watching two teams trying not to win.
I'm a Cleveland Browns fan. Of course I like watching teams try not to win. What are you talking about?
Yeah. The great thing about Arizona Carolina was this was the Mayor of Munchkinland trophy for the midget quarterbacks. And it was Bryce Young who just couldn't handle the windmill. Just couldn't get
John says I'm not allowed to say midget. I did say it last week, and he claims that I'm not allowed to say it. But
well, I was more agreeing with another of our listeners who said you can't say that. But yeah,
okay. Well, well now we've managed to sweep it in this week.
Yeah, we're not. We're not. Our podcast is no longer tied to a corporate big business, so we can kind of say what we like. Big you asshole.
Didn't mean to offend anybody, but the Munchkin Land, the mayor of Munchkin Land, is a Munchkin.
One small little thing from me before we talk about the outrights. The NFL favorites of 4 points and more or more, sorry, are 12-0 this season. And it's actually 64-7 since week 13 of last year for a favorite who's had 4 points of more. And in the same span, favorites of 6 points or more are 47-4, which you would kind of imply there that there is a bit of a gap being formed between certain teams. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The league is incredibly tiered, you know, and we can, I mean, that can take us right into the preseason favorites and who you look at, because I thought when I did, it was impossible to look at more than really five teams total, three in the AFC, two in the NFC as being superior teams. And I was looking at that point at the Chargers, the Bengals, and the Packers as being my dark horse teams. In other words, in there for a division title, possibly the championship ball. But I didn't see a whole lot of teams beneath that gave me confidence for a long run.
Well, we're going to do a little bit on the outright. So I'm going to give you some AFC, and I'm going to give you the AFC odds and then the NFC and then a little bit on Super Bowl, and you can both kind of have your little say. We'll start with you, John. The Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills are now 5-2 joint favorites to win the AFC. After that, you can really see where this kind of tiered system that Mike is talking about, because Kansas City and the LA Chargers are 7-1, and it is double figure price. The rest, 25-1 about the Cincinnati Bengals catches the eye, obviously injuries. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Green Bay Packers are 3-1 to win the NFC championship at the moment as it stands. Next on the list is the Detroit Lions at 15-2. You've got a couple of them on 9-1. They are the Rams, the Bucks, and the 49ers. And again, I'm not going to say it's have what you like on the rest, but it's big odds for a lot of them. The Super Bowl itself, the Baltimore Ravens are our favorites to win the Super Bowl at 9-2. The Buffalo Bills are 5-1. The Green Bay Packers are 6-1. The Eagles are 13-2. Where are the Kansas City Chiefs? Well, they're 11-1. The Chargers are 14. The Lions are 14s as well, sorry. The Rams and the 49ers are 16s, and it is 20s bar. All in all, you have 1, 2, 3, 4 teams in single digits for the Super Bowl, which kind of right. I mean, I actually remember Super Bowls being 10s to field a few years ago, but that probably shows you where we are. John, AFC, NFC, kind of gone through the boat. Where would you like to start on what you see happening 2 weeks
in? We could talk about, I mean, I agree, as most would, with the odds that I think most would have Buffalo and Baltimore as duking it out to be the AFC's representative in the Super Bowl next year. I think that's kind of the obvious thing to say. But what I'm going to do is more focus on what I would consider to be, I don't know if they're dark horses per se, but maybe teams in the pack right behind. So I'm quite high on Tampa Bay this year. I'll go into that in a little bit more detail later on in the show, so I won't go into too much depth there. But the one team I'll talk about in the AFC that I think could be there or thereabouts, they've started 2-0. They have a really good quarterback. They seem to be changing their style a little bit, moving away from a run-heavy offense towards a more pass-heavy style of play, and that would be the Los Angeles Chargers, 2-0 to start the year. Justin Herbert, again, very, very small sample size for this particular season, but he's playing, to this point at least anyway, like a potential MVP kind of guy in the running for that, at least anyway, top 5, top 10 kind of guy. And I just think the way that team is put together, I just think that they're bound for good things this year. Even if you looked at them so far this season, week one, like obviously a win over the Chiefs, and that's kind of a big deal. I think we're starting to maybe come to the conclusion that this isn't a vintage Chiefs team. They've started 0-2. They've lost three games in a row for the first time, I think, in the Mahomes era, or maybe even the Andy Reid era. I'll have to double check those things. But I just really think this Chargers team is poised to be really, really good, and especially so if they can get the run game going, which under the rookie that I really, really like, Amarian Hampton, just hasn't happened quite yet. But if you actually look at the rookie running backs in the league so far this year, none of them have taken off yet. So I think there'll be, that's the sort of thing that might kind of show its face a little bit more in the second half of the season. But they're not, like, I suppose the major point is they're not really, so far at least anyway, suffering because of a lack of a really coherent and robust run game because Herbert's playing so well.
Mike, I'll let you come in there now, but I will say, John, you have fallen foul of Kieran O'Connor from the last two seasons, where he believed the Chargers were going to do something, and it turns out that they didn't. So
yeah, that's why I didn't pick them the last two seasons. I am this year. So
I actually long term listeners of when we did the other show, NFL Only Better, will know that I have a bit of a thing for Justin Herbert. Mike, they're gonna flatter to deceive again, are they?
Well, they always do. I mean, that's the problem. They've been flattering to see, ever since 1965. Flattering to deceive is like the team model. But I mean, one of the things that makes them, I think, dangerous here is that they're well coached. The Harbros can coach, for all the criticism John got for not going for it on fourth down against the Bills or whatever. I do think that this has the makings to me of being a Bills Ravens AFC championship. Andy can always pull one out of the hat. They usually do. It often takes him some years, it has taken months to put the teams together. Everybody's got problems. The Bengals went from being everyone's favorite dark horse to nothing because Burrow's out with a turf toe for a while. And Jake Browning's a good backup, but he's a backup, and anyone else can get hurt along the way. It's hard not to go with Philadelphia because they've just ground out two victories. And although in reality, the best teams beat bad teams by big margins and grind out victories against good teams, I think that's all that we're waiting to see from Philadelphia. I doubt Detroit's going to step away at any point, but Green Bay after 2 weeks looks good. The dark horses that I was looking at, and the Chargers are certainly one of them, and look, really, really pretty good. I think the Rams are now the other one in my mind, because I think the Rams have such good young talent on both offense and defense that they're going to be hard to beat. I'm not sure overall how tough Tampa Bay is, but they're solid, and they've added something beyond, I think, that they really needed, which was another great receiver in the draft. And I think he's going to wind up being a really good case for rookie receiver, Egbuka. It's hard. One of the things is...
Egbuka. Yeah, I think it's Egbuka. Yeah.
Egbuka. He looks to me like one of the most impressive rookies of all. And I can also say I would be playing Travis Hunter on defense full time and as a gadget player on offense if I was Jacksonville. I think he's much more useful way.
Yeah, so, that's an interesting point.
I just do. I think he can shut down people completely and then you still have energy left to do some things for you offensively. So that's pretty much where I stand, and everything will change. And the defensive rookie of the year after 2 weeks is Mukoba, but that's based on like two big plays for the Eagles that happened to get onto red zone. So yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, we will. We'll move to the games. Just quickly, you mentioned about the Philadelphia Eagles, a stat that really popped out. I've got a couple for today, but how many, two games is not a lot, how many passes for more than 10 yards has Jalen Hurts thrown for this season?
One.
Oh, you're close, Mike. It's two. Two in two games for more than 10 yards. He's tied for 34th with Tyrod Taylor in the NFL at the moment.
Do you want to know something funny about that as well? You know how many passes Tyrod Taylor has thrown so far this season? 11.
Two.
It's 11. Oh.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a worry for them. And I'm not sure if it's kind of a planned worry where you're playing your offense and you're waiting to let it open up, or you just don't have anybody that you can hit. But I mean, if I were AJ Brown, I'd be getting very tired of running those 6 yard slants and getting beaten up, because he can beat guys deep, you know. But people are doubling him, and they're saying, you know, let Devontae Smith beat us deep, or somebody else, because you don't got nobody else, you know.
Did you see in the Eagles game at the weekend, they beat the Chiefs, was it 20-17, I think?
And, after I picked the Eagles and you picked the Chiefs, but anyway, let's move on.
Oh, Kieran, that's just petty of you. But there was caught on one of the mics, like he wasn't mic'd up per se, it was caught on a ref mic, or it made it to the broadcast, or certainly out of social media anyway. But as Hurts was, taking a knee to win the game, one of the Chiefs players was like, "You only threw for 100 yards!" or something like that, and Hurts just responds with, "We won the game," as he takes a knee. So I just thought that was a
I didn't realize it was a teammate. Somebody told me that story, but I thought it was someone from the other team.
Okay.
When they were getting ready to tush push.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not mentioning tush pushes here, lads. They're too much of a debate, and they won't be around next season. I think we can all agree on that. I'm surprised they're around this season. We speak a lot about it.
I think the tush push should be. They will ban it. I think you should only be able to call the tush push inside the 5 yard line. How does that sound? You can't. You shouldn't be able to call it from like middle of the field.
They all shouldn't be offside, and the guards shouldn't. Anyway, we're not doing it. Before we move on to the games, John, did you watch Monday Night Football? Nick Chubb scored the go ahead touchdown for Houston. Then Baker Mayfield led the game winning touchdown drive. The two of them had a big hug after the game.
Jamal Chubb. I love that man.
I thought, as an ex-Browns man, you would be like...
You know what? I didn't actually see very much of that game, to be perfectly honest with you. It just hurts a little bit to watch Nick Chubb out there prospering away from my sensibilities like this. It's a little too real, you know? But on a serious side, I'm glad to see it. Like, it's great. You know, he's had... Even through college, when he's coming out through Georgia and stuff, he's had some really serious injuries over the course of his career. And the one that basically ended his Cleveland career was, I was watching that game live, and a knee isn't supposed to bend in that particular direction. And I think it's just a testament to, like, I suppose, the wonders of modern medical science, but also his, his go-get him attitude. Is that the way you can say it? Just the fact that he's back and playing at a he's not going to be the Nick Chubb of old, and he's even past those injuries, he's 29, he's like well past the running back sell by date, even if they're sort of healthy most of the time. So I think it just speaks to his commitment to the team. He's just been a fantastic player, a brilliant professional throughout his entire career.
Just Thursday Night Football. Absolutely. Yeah. Thursday Night Football. Miami Dolphins, a team in trouble. Let's be honest. Head to the Buffalo Bills, who are 2-0. 0-2 against 2-0. What are you going to get? You're going to get a heavy spread. 11-2, the Miami Dolphins. The Bills are 1-8. The spread is 11.5. A reminder of that stat we said earlier, because people would normally be scared.
11.5 is this season's 5.5.
Seems to be, yeah. Yeah. 49.5 is the over-under. At the moment, Mike, it's very much contrasting seasons so far for both sides.
Yes. If Miami's front office weren't so dysfunctional, I think McDaniel would be out of there quickly. And not only do the players show no sign of wanting to play for him, he doesn't show much sign of wanting to coach for them. None of them seem bothered by how bad they, you know, it's like nobody's told them, guys, you know, they put your names on the backs of the jerseys.
Tyreek Hill seems to have just contempt for playing for the Dolphins at the moment. I don't know if you saw his body language in the game. There was there was an underthrown pass from two under or overthrown, like an inaccurate pass at the best times anyway. And you should have seen, I'm sure you probably both did, but Tyreek Hill reaction, just throwing his hands to the sky and then like walking away laughing kind of thing. That's just, if you're a supporter of that team and you see that sort of behavior from one of your best paid and ostensibly your star player, that's just bad.
He'll go to Kansas, I think, very soon.
I would have. That's an interesting one. As I would think that Buffalo can cover 12. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it as a best bet, because you know lots of things can happen. They can be up by 21 and decide to let the bench come in and play for a while and lose a lead, which is the reason why I usually avoid double digit spreads as a rule, or used to at least. But certainly Buffalo wins this one. I think they can probably go over even without much cooperation from Miami, because Miami can put 17 or so up there quite easily, you know, on just a couple of big plays. So if you forced me to make a best bet of the three, I would take the over.
Yeah, yeah. John, what about you? Like, it's very, very difficult to see Miami at the moment going up there and doing
much. It is, it is. It is one of those things, though, as well, where they might be due a little bit of a better performance. It's a division rivalry game. I don't know if they'll necessarily get blown out of it. One thing, I won't labor on this one too much because Mike kind of pretty elucidated pretty well there, I thought. But Buffalo have looked a little bit vulnerable against the run so far this year. And as far as I know, both Ed Oliver and Matt Milano, so that's a defensive tackle and a linebacker, look like they're going to be missing. And the one bright spark for Miami so far this year has been Devon Achane. So I think that could be the difference. And if he gets a couple of touchdowns, I think the over is looking like a really, really good bet there.
I hadn't checked the injury list because it's only Wednesday. But Oliver made the two biggest plays of the game against Baltimore. Nobody seemed to pay much attention. But when they were yelling at Harbaugh for not going for it on fourth down, you know, they hadn't watched the play before. He had stuffed Derrick Henry. In the series before, he had stuffed Derrick Henry and stripped the ball from him. And those were the two biggest plays of the game. And Milano, especially against speed, is really like the key to Buffalo's defense, because he's got to cover sideline to sideline, basically. So, yeah, those are good points. Absolutely. Okay. And maybe you can take the over off the board if you feel like it.
Okay, 6 o'clock game. One of the ones we likes is the LA Rams at the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know what way I was pronouncing it there. Anyway,
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. That's what they call it here. I definitely wouldn't like that accent. 6-4 about the LA Rams. Philadelphia Eagles are 8-15. 3.5 spread. 44.5 is the over under. Mike, is Jalen Hurts going to throw it for more than 10 yards?
Does he have to, is the question. And I think the answer to that is yes. I think, like I said, there's an awful lot of young talent on the Rams, and a lot of it is on that defensive side. People are all of a sudden starting to talk about Jaden Verse, as one of the best players in the league at outside linebacker. Basically, he's an edge player. He doesn't get a lot of sacks, but he gets an awful lot of pressures, and he's big enough to set the edge and play like an old-fashioned defensive end. And he's in his second year. Byron Young's in his third year. Spates, the undrafted rookie, last year is the middle linebacker. Braden Fisk was also from Florida State, like Verse was, is in his second year. Kuna Ford, who's a veteran, is quite good inside. They drafted a really good guy from Ohio State called Ty Hamilton. Kobe Turner has been very good. He's in his second year. Those guys are growing together as a unit, you know, and it's going to be like those old Ram teams that had Aaron Donald in the middle. They're going to be very hard to run on. Now, the question against the Eagles is, can they get any push against the Eagles' defense, or take advantage of the secondary? The one weakness the Eagles have is they don't have a second outside corner, a good one. Quinyon Mitchell's there, but he's the only one, you know, and they're trying to cover it with like using a slot corner and big nickel with three safeties, but none of them can really cover on the outside. And Sean McVay's smart enough to scheme with that. So I think this is a really interesting game in a lot of ways, because there's one kind of hole that each team can exploit. Normally, I would pick Philadelphia, give the Rams the 3.5. You know it's going to be a close game. You know Sean McVay can close this, but I got a kind of sneaker that the Rams can cover in this one. And I'm not quite sure it's going to go over 44.5, but they're both good enough offenses to do that.
Yeah, a lot of the games of the weekend went over. John, you can touch on that one. And also, I know you do want to talk about Packers-Browns, and I'll just give an odds on that. Green Bay Packers are 2-9. Cleveland Browns are 3-1. 7.5 is spread, and 41.5 is the over under, with obviously the Packers being one of the teams that, you know, a lot of people after 2 weeks are saying look very, very impressive. So I'll let you talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Does it have to involve the NFL?
No. I mean, we can turn this into some sort of other podcast. If you'd like.
No, one thing I'll just touch on, as you say, the Eagles-Rams game quite quickly. The one thing I'll say, just to add just to some more color to what Mike was saying, about the idea about Philadelphia running the ball, or will they throw more, or will they kind of, you know, unleash that side of the game? There's a danger that the Rams, particularly with the kind of, they have a little bit of a beat up O-line a little bit at the moment. There's a danger that they might be take this opportunity to stack the box, to really, you know, put a bunch of linebackers in there towards the line of scrimmage. And that could really, really open things up for Jalen Hurts if he does want to try and find A.J. Brown, or wants to try and find Devontae Smith a little bit further down the field. That's the only thing I'll say there. So I think I would actually kind of be, at the same time though, I do favor the Eagles in this one. And I think -3.5 is probably where I would go on that one. What was the other one you want me to talk about? The Cleveland Browns latest defeat? Yeah.
The thing you always talk about, John.
Yeah, I think I just to our listeners before in our little meeting before we hit record here, I was like, I don't need really feel like I need to talk about the Browns again. I did it in the first 2 weeks, but I was told, no, John, speak about the Browns. It was Kieran O'Connor taking an executive decision there. So there really isn't very much to say. They're not going to win this game. Green Bay Packers are looking like one of the better teams in the NFL. Micah Parsons could be that thing that actually elevates them, takes them to that next level, and puts them into Super Bowl contention once again. From the Browns, the one thing, there have been a few bright sparks to this point in the season, even despite being 0-2. Bright spark number one, they don't look quite as awful as they did last year. So that's a positive, even if they're not going to really make any waves per se. The one aspect of the game in where the Browns are actually shining for real is the run defense. They might be the best run defense team in the league. Certainly, I would just
arbitrarily put them. Fucking shitting me.
I'd put them top five. Kieran, they held Derrick Henry to 21 yards. They held Chase Brown to, like, I think around the same. Throughout two games, they've conceded 90 yards on the ground through two games, and they played Chase Brown and Derrick Henry. So
let's come back to this post-Thanksgiving.
Enough with your scoffing. But yeah, that's the bright spark. Mason Graham's looked like a decent player. Schwesinger, the linebacker, is looking like a decent player. And Judkins, when he came on as well, showed a bit of promise. He's, you know, he had a bunch of, he ran through a couple of tackles, looked good. It actually does look like a pretty good draft to this point anyway. Like, again, I fully admit it's a small sample size, but it does look like it's been, you know, a better draft for Andrew Berry, the GM, than it has been in recent years. But at the same time, this is not going to, you need a quarterback. Joe Flacco is very much looking like an old man out there, no mobility whatsoever. And this Browns O-line, it's still the same O-line that was one of the best in the league maybe 3 or 4 years ago, but it's the same players for the most part, and they're older, they're more beat up. Duane Jones is, like, basically, he's a giant. He's 6'8". He's 350 pounds, but he can't move very well. He's not your left tackle that's going to protect Joe Flacco's blind side. So there's a lot of problems with the offense. Defense, not so bad. It's a Jim Schwartz defense, but that's not really going to matter, I think, this weekend against the Packers. What I do like though is the over under being 41.5. I think we can hit the under on that one. That's where I'm looking at this game as well. But look, Packers are going to win this one. They're -8.5. I prefer the under than the -8.5, to be honest with you. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking about this game so far. No, Browns aren't going to win.
Jesus, Mike.
He
said he had nothing to say, and then he literally and spewed.
Stopped. There's a whole roster breakdown.
It was like,
did they sign any new guys for the practice squad, John?
Fucking hell. I think he set you back 2 weeks having to listen to that, didn't they, Mike?
They did. They actually put Gage Lavarda back on the practice squad. They caught him when they brought
Carson
Judkins back
Schlesinger
in.
Last week, next week.
Yeah, well, of course, he's great. He's a great player.
He talked about him next week, too. Jesus. Yeah,
okay, we'll move on. Fucking hell. Yeah.
I told you I didn't want to talk about the Browns. You made me.
The Rams, no one made you do that.
Yeah.
The Rams and Eagles, of course, was last year's NFC Championship game. I thought I was remiss in mentioning that. You know, it's not like the Rams have come out of nowhere. And I think you want to just take a break, John, rest for a while before You talk
I'm sorry
about
if
Tampa.
my cogent and cutting edge analysis is a little too much for you, Mike. But over out here in Rathmines in Dublin 6, we like to go to detail on things.
I think it was more when you said that they were like the best run defense in the league, or that
they're
was when,
statistically
was when
the
lost.
Best run defense team in the league here.
After two games,
that's why
two games. Well, Jalen Hurts hasn't thrown the ball for more than 10 yards after two games. of the 905 and 925 games, I guess the game. There is a pick'em game, which is the Cowboys at the Chicago Bears. It's pick'em at the moment, 9-10 either way. The Cowboys are, the Bears are mild favorites, 1.5 is the spread on Betfair. That's completely wrong. I have no idea why that would be 9-10 as well. Anyway, I don't work there anymore, but it's wrong. 50.5 is the over-under. Cowboys or Bears? Mike, what do you think? Cowboys or Bears?
The Bears are getting a point and a half at home, which doesn't really mean much. They tried really hard to lose last week. Chicago played like a northern version of the Miami Dolphins. Didn't really look interested in winning, at least on offense, but they did on defense. And that could be a problem for Dallas, who were really sloppy. Normally, I would look at this game and I would say Dallas under 50. And then I would think about last week and I say, I might even go Chicago and over 50. I mean, it could be such an awful defenseless kind of game that I would probably stay away from this one.
Okay. Well, look, that's why they're America's team, everybody. The late game is the Kansas City Chiefs 0-2, by the way, taking on the New York Giants, 4-11 about Kansas City Chiefs. The New York Giants are 2-1, 5.5 spread. 44.5 is the over-under on this one. Gents, I do have a little bit of something for this game because we mentioned last week when John tipped up Kansas and I said that Kansas's offense was brutal. I can give you the stats from the game. Rushing, Mahomes, 123 yards. Kareem Hunt, 47 yards. Pacquiao, 47 yards. Smith, 2 yards. That's it. 219 yards in total, Kansas. Mm. Like, they really need to get some players in there because it's been a bad start. And you look at the squad, you look at what they have, and you're a bit like, ooh, this does not look great.
This was a team that had one of the best offensive lines in the league a couple of years ago and one of the best interior offensive lines before that. Now, again, this is, you know, they're playing the Giants. The Giants have some threats. They've got some pretty good defensive players. Neighbors was outstanding last week. I mean, really great big moment player. And the Chiefs don't have one. They don't have a downfield player. Andy can't make an off running offense work with what he's got, or else he's afraid to. So, I mean, I think it was when I saw the line when it opened, it was 6.5. And I was seriously considering sitting there and taking the Giants at 6.5 and thinking they could cover it that. Now, since 5.5 is the new 10.5, you know, you still might consider doing it. I find it really hard to think that Andy Reid is going to lose this game. But that's what everybody does, I think.
That's what I said last week.
Yeah, I think reality may be about to set in. But I'll still, giving 6.5 is a lot, but I still think the Chiefs can beat them by a touchdown.
Yeah. John, I'm going to go to you with another world, right? Here's what happened on Sunday, right? Harrison Butker kicks that field goal. Mahomes doesn't miss a wide receiver on busted coverage that would have been a walk-in touchdown. And Travis Kelce catches the ball instead of letting the ball bounce off his hands at the goal line and get intercepted. That's 17 more points. The Chiefs lost by 3. They possibly win the game in a different world. But that's, you know.
That's football.
That's football.
It's a game of inches, Kieran. It's fine margins.
I've heard of that. Yeah. I've heard that. But obviously, like, after the game, there was a lot of talk about the tush push, you know, being the guards, the offsides, everything. Wasn't a whole lot of mention that, you know, for once the breaks really didn't go KC's way. And if they had, completely different ball game.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, I've not much more to say. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there with your statement, Kieran. It is quite unusual, though. Like, you know, I'm just going to have to repeat a couple of things I said last week, but, you know, starting the season 0-2, technically through they've lost three games in a row. One of them was the Super Bowl, obviously. So I mean, that's going back a number of months there. But if there were some suggestions in the first week that this isn't the Kansas City Chiefs team of the last 3-4 years, we saw it last week. But again, they're away to the New York Giants now. I completely echo Mike's point about I'd like this kind of defensive front that that the Giants have at the moment. Neighbors is a great player, and look, if they somehow can coax a bit more, like if they Russell Wilson last week played like sort of 2017 Russell Wilson, not the 2025 Russell Wilson, and I don't think that can continue for very, very much longer. They were playing the very, very porous, Cowboys secondary, but it was one of those things. He just seemed to have he was balling, wasn't he? He was just playing really, really well. His tail was up, and everything he was trying to do, now bar the very, very end, of course, but everything he was doing up to that point was coming off really, really well. So I just don't think that's going to happen again. But at the same time, I didn't think the Chiefs would lose last week either. So it's going to be a hard one. But I'll go the over 44.5 on this one, and just under the assumption that the Giants can continue a little bit of their offensive momentum and the Chiefs can kind of get stuff going here as well. But I think this actually might be a sneaky kind of really, really good game too. So I'm looking forward to this one.
Well, your current NFL passing leader is in it, in Russell Wilson.
Yeah, 450 yards last week alone.
Anyone want to take a guess on who's second?
It's not Jalen Hurts.
It's not Jalen Hurts. No, it is not. For who's obvious second? Reasons.
Is it
Baker Mayfield?
It's not Baker, is it?
It's not Baker, no. No.
Dak Prescott.
It's not Dak, no. Daniel Jones.
Oh, Detroit Lions, there you go.
Baltimore Ravens.
Well, hang on. That's in Daniel Jones to you.
That's pretty good, actually. You know they haven't punted yet, the Colts?
Yeah,
two games.
I do know that.
No.
Zero punts over two games.
And
it's pretty good.
And they're going to Tennessee this week.
Yeah. No, they were excellent. That game was great. But anyway.
Cam Ward threw the best pass I saw all week.
Oh, the crossbody went into the other side of the field.
Going out of bounds on the right side of the sidelines and not only throwing against the body across the field, but over the head of the defender and into the arms of a guy who's still running away from him.
I frequently do that in Madden on the PlayStation with very, very mixed results.
Mike, I'll give you the last one. Detroit Lions at Baltimore Ravens. The Lions are 15-8. The Ravens are 2-5. 5.5 is the spread. 52.5 is the over-under. This should be a good one. What do you think, Mike?
I think it should be a really good one. I actually think Detroit might be in play with the 5.5. I mean, this screams offensive shootout to me. But both these teams are really good defensively. And Jared Goff's not quite Jared Allen. And to me, that was the difference in the first game. And it was the reason why the first game had so many points up there. It's like, I would not be afraid of going over, even though I just said that I would not be afraid of going either way. But on a Monday night, that home field advantage is big. But Detroit has had a little extra time to prepare and get back in. So I think it's a cracker. This is one of those Monday night games you stay up for and watch. And in the end, I think I take Baltimore to win. And I take them probably to cover.
Okay. Just an update on our best bets of the week as we stand. John is 1-1. I am also 1-1. And Mike is claiming his 2-0, even though he didn't give one last week, but we'll give it to
him. There's an asterisk there with that one.
Warning there, too. If you're taking Cincinnati or Minnesota, remember that this game is Jake Browning against Carson Wentz.
And also just another bit of injury news. Jaden Daniels as well is a bit questionable for the Commanders too. So as we kind of say this every week, but make sure you check the injury reports before you make any moves in this one.
Yeah.
And wait as long as you can too.
It could be Tyrod Taylor for the Jets.
Yeah, soon to outpace Jalen Hurts in the passing ranks.
The Patriots game was another game of Miami and the Patriots both trying to lose the game as hard as they could in overtime. So the Patriots commit a penalty. They take a loss. to go almost out of field goal range, especially when your field goal kicker has missed two extra points and a field goal so far this season. And Vrabel sends him out to kick a 53-yarder. And I'm thinking, now that's a balls of steel move, you know, because maybe you just need to build the guy's confidence. And he hits it. So that was very strange. And at the same time, the guy they cut to keep the guy they drafted, who outplayed him in the cut guy outplayed him in training camp, but he wasn't drafted. John Parker Romo kicked 5 of 5 field goals and 16 of the 21 points in New Orleans loss. So I just thought that was a kind of nice little comeback for them. And to everybody who says how bad Mac Jones was, everybody forgets that Kyle Shanahan tried to trade it up in the draft to draft Mac Jones, not to draft Trey Lance from North Dakota State. It was either Shanahan or the owner, York, who fell in love with Lance and made them draft him. And when I was watching Mac Jones, not that he played great, but he played exactly like Brock Purdy. He looked almost like a clone of Brock Purdy out there. And you could just see why Shanahan liked him, you know, what he thought he saw that he could do. He was making his reads right. He was going the right way. He was moving people with his eyes. And, you know, he worked for a game. Don't know if it'll work for another. But everybody keeps pointing out when you say, why are the odds so low for the Niners, who are like, what are they? What do you say, 12-1, something like that? It's because they play the easiest schedule in the league. You know, they can easily get into the playoffs, 11-5, playing the way they're playing.
Best bets of the week, guys. I'm going to go first because
Mike should go first because he won,
and I'm going to go.
Yeah, I should go first.
I won too.
I won.
Well, okay.
I won too.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're going to take too. Yeah. It's going to be the same one I want.
My best bet of the weekend is the Pittsburgh Steelers -1.5. I think Pittsburgh are kind of sneaky good, and I think the Patriots are just a little bit off, as we saw at the weekend where they did all they could to lose, really.
I'm going
to
go with the Chargers, and they're -2.5 and then at home against Denver.
That's a good one. That is a good one. John, send us home.
I'm going into Florida. I'm going.
Are you still thinking, John? That is absolutely shocking. He was still thinking.
What?
Still thinking. He was still thinking when we asked. Go ahead.
No, I've got it right here in front of me. I said I'm going into Florida, going to Tampa Bay, and you're like, you're still thinking about it. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who are welcoming the New York Jets into Florida, and I think, yeah, I thought we were going to talk about this game a little bit more, but yeah, I think Tampa Bay are looking really, really good this year. Baker Mayfield, as discussed, is playing great. They've got, you know, good to very good to excellent players scattered across the field. You know, if you look at Vita Vea, you look at the receiver core, Evans, and this new guy, Ibuka, they're getting Chris Godwin back at some point later on in the season. Yeah, I just think this team is really, really good. And look, the Jets are going into this game potentially without their starting quarterback, Justin Fields, who got a concussion. Again, at the time of recording this, we don't know if he's going to be playing or not. I would suspect that he won't. So that will obviously change things as well. So I think the Buccaneers -6.5. I think they're going to beat the Jets by certainly more than a touchdown in this one. So that's my best bet for the week.
And with that, we shall end. My thank you so much for listening again. We were watching how many of you listened last week again. It's really great that you followed us across from NFL Only Better and are listening to the new show. Thank you so much. And hopefully you'll join us throughout the season as we continue. My thanks to John Bav. John, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Thanks, guys. Evening. Great to see you both.
Yeah, and Mike, thanks so much for joining us. We wish you well as you continue your recovery. We hope everything's going so well for you.
It's the high point of my week, guys. I really appreciate it.
Lovely.
Excellent. Gents, I'll talk to you next week. The best of luck with all your bets. Please do gamble responsibly. And let's get some winners.